All right, hour number two of OMF. We're live down here in Foxborough. Time for us to sit down and talk with the coach, Bill Belichick, brought to you by Mass General Hospital. Cancer Center, Everyday Amazing by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health, McFarland Energy, Fraser Engineering, great people doing great work, and by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good, Glenn. Kirsten, Lou, how are we doing?
Coach, good.
Boy, that was fun yesterday, huh?
Yeah, it was.
So how was it when you sit by all week, you prepare, you design everything, and suddenly, lo and behold, you look out in the field and say, boy, it's all working. We did some good work this week. And the guys were energized. You had them ready for the game?
Yeah, players played well, and thought the coaches did a great job of getting the players ready and played with great energy and toughness. You know, we ran the ball and did a pretty good job on the Chargers, good running game. So that's always a good place to start.
Was it important for you guys to get the ball first on offense? Because you guys won the toss, you elected to receive. I know, yeah. It goes back and forth. Was that something that...
Yeah, we can't control who's going to win the toss or not. Main thing is, when you get out there, is to be productive. And, you know, we gave up the first drive defensively, but overall we had a pretty good first half on defense on third down. And offensively we, you know, scored on a lot of those possessions. And so it's always good.
You know, last Monday we talked about defensively the Chargers, what they do. You kind of expected them to kind of continue to do 6 DBs, 7 DBs, and they did. Is that just Rob Gronkowski was a beast in the running game? It seemed like you guys just wanted to overpower them with the run early, set everything up.
Well, we had some production in the running game, and that's always a good thing. We also were able to throw the ball. We had good balance. So, it comes down to great execution You know, we had that from Tom, Julian, James, Rob, I mean, all the guys in the passing game. Phil Dorsett came up there and gave us some big plays, too, and obviously ran the ball pretty well.
You know, when you have that kind of defense and you just get through playing the Ravens and you're asking corners or safeties to put their nose in there and stop the run, we were talking before, that commitment for them to do it 2 weeks in a row, I would think would be difficult. Have you seen that with those kind of guys being asked to stop the run a couple weeks in a row, just kind of takes its toll?
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers are a pretty tough football team. I wouldn't question that on them. Look, some things went well for us yesterday, went right, and that's great. But I wouldn't take anything away from the Chargers. They're a good football team. They had a great year, and we had our day yesterday. But you know, that's the way it is in this league.
Can you kind of explain what you were doing defensively yesterday? Obviously, they've got five in the line of scrimmage. You've got six, seven, eight. At one time, you get nobody back at safety, moving around, sending different guys through different gaps. And yet, you could see it after a while. The Chargers' offensive linemen would come up, and there'd be nobody there for them to block. Is it a matter of what you do to confuse the rule of order on that offensive line as to who their assignment is? Is that part of what you're doing there to confuse them?
Well, we don't always know what they're in, what protection they're in, or what they're trying to do, but certainly disguise is part of it. And our guys up front did a nice job. I thought Devin and Patrick did a nice job at safeties and exchanging some responsibilities and changing their looks a little bit. So, again, it really comes down to good team defense. But in the end, when the ball snapped, you've got to be able to execute it, and that was the key. We had good coverage with a good pass rush, and when you combine those two things together, you're going to have some success on defense, and we had that.
You know, there's the offense is such a copycat league, and the use of the fullback, it seems like it's coming back in vogue again. It's like the way you guys use Devlin, how successful you are. Do you see that as something that's going to reemerge as a priority position for just most teams, or is it just specific to who's available?
Yeah, that's a tough question, Christian. I don't really have the answer to that. I just know we have to, you know, do what we feel is best for our football team and for our offense. So what other teams in the league decide to do, what the trends are and all that, I mean, I don't really know.
So Edelman... You know, that position is really, it's been so many different guys have played that position. They've all had success with it. You know, Troy Brown, Welker, Deion Branch. Jeez, I keep hitting this thing. And obviously Edelman. All great athletes. Is there
Don't
something?
Forget Danny Amendola.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Danny. The Dola. I know.
Yeah.
I forgot we call him by the Dola. Is there something that sets him apart, Edelman, from the other guys? Based on just, you know, all the different guys that have come, they all have different traits. But what sets him apart from those other guys that played the same position?
Well, like you said, they've all had a lot of production. Most of Deion's production was on the perimeter, but the other four guys, you know, Edelman's sort of like Troy. He's very strong. I think Troy's, you know, pound for pound, one of the stronger players we've had. Curtis Martin, you know, guys like that that were really could, had good balance and good playing strength to either get open or make yards after the catch. Whereas Wes and Danny were very quick and, you know, maybe a little had a lot of craftiness to their game. But Julian's has it all, really. He's a good route runner. He's very tough, competitive, hard guy to tackle. And again, all those guys were punt returners that you mentioned. So the ability to make yards with the ball in their hand is important.
So Sony Michel, obviously a huge game yesterday. And I'm curious because the goal line, it seemed like at times maybe was something that he wasn't successful early in the season. But this game here, I think he had one from the one, one from the five. Is that part of growth of a running back? Or would you say is that execution maybe he wasn't successful early in the year? Have you seen him grow in that area?
You know, I think Sony's done a good job running the ball for us. All of our backs have been productive. And you know, goal line offense, again, is part running back, but it's part everything else. So, you know, I think when he has his chances, he's gonna get the ball in the end zone. And if, you know, there's just a wall of bodies there, then sometimes it's hard. You know, occasionally backs miss reads, just like everything else. But for the most part, I think he does a good job with his vision, and he's a good player with good playing strength and balance, and can handle contact. So he did a good job of that yesterday, run through a couple arm tackles.
You know, people say, like, your first playoff game for this guy. Do you look at it and say, I mean, he did come from Georgia, right? Some big games, national title games. Does that sort of help that mindset, maybe for a kid that maybe didn't play in a big program, or as far as, like, getting the jitters off of playing in the first playoff game?
Yeah, I don't think it's how many you've played in. I think it's how prepared you are and how well you play. So,
all right, talking about preparation, you guys had a very successful defensive game plan against the pocket quarterback. This week it is totally different. You're dealing with a unique scrambler who has tremendous accuracy throwing the ball on the run, and he does it, Bill, when he's looking at a receiver over there to the left, and he throws it over to the receiver on the right. How different is your game plan this week, and how different do you have to get into the mindset of your players that this is much different than what we did last week?
Well, I don't think that'll take long at all. I think our players understand that. We played against him earlier in the year, and we've played against other players like him, even in recent weeks. You know, going to Allen at Buffalo, for example, guys that could really move around and throw the ball on the run. So you're right, it'd be a different type of game, given his skill set. And this is a very explosive group of receivers. Coach Reed does a great job game planning and creating matchups and creating problems for the defense. So it'll be a big challenge for all of us, coaching staff and our players, and just everybody to do a good job to try to compete against these guys.
How difficult is it for DBs to not get committed one way or the other with Mahomes? Because when he's on that run, it's usually he's throwing the football, right? But every once in a while, he'll run one off for 20 or 30 yards.
Well, you've always got to stay back until he crosses the line of scrimmage. You never want to go forward and let him dump it over your head and have nobody on the receiver. So once he crosses the line and he can't throw it anymore, then he's a runner, then you have to play him like a runner. But until then, if you're in pass coverage, now if you're in the pass rush, that's different. But if you're in pass coverage, you've got to, you know, respect your coverage, unless you have some kind of rule that trumps it or overrides it. But in a normal situation, it's coverage first until he starts running.
So if you're, I guess, if you're in man and you see this guy scrambling, is the rule to just, I guess there would be like an urge to turn around to see what's going on. Is the rule to just stay on the guy that you're covering and just keep following no matter what's happening, thus, you know, a guy just become wide open?
Yeah, well, you always want to stay on your man, but you can you know, split your vision and stay on your man, check the quarterback, get back on your man. Or sometimes you could feel your man if he's close to you. I'm not saying hold him, but feel him and then look back for the quarterback. And then if you lose contact with your touch, then get your eyes back on the receiver. If you don't, then you can keep looking at the quarterback. So, again, those are all basic fundamentals that it doesn't matter who the quarterback is or who the receiver is. You teach those in day one, probably teach them in junior high school. But that's, you know, that's what you have to do. If you leave them and while you're looking at the quarterback, your guy's open, they dump it to him. I mean, who else is going to cover him? It's got to be you.
There, I mean, a lot's been made of this, you know, playing in Arrowhead, and I played there every year for 7 years. And for me, it was the loudest, most intimidating stadium I'd ever played in. Now, these last time, most of these guys, I guess, when you play the, I don't know if half these guys were even on the team the last time you guys went there. Replicating that environment, I mean, what are we thinking about for the mixtape? I mean, what kind of music are we thinking? I mean, it's going to have to be really loud.
Living on a prayer?
You're going to have to go to 11 with this one.
Right. Well, it's, look, the hardest thing about playing in Arrowhead is the Chiefs. Them, they're a great football team, top seed in the AFC this year, so. Obviously, they're very good, and playing them anywhere is hard. They're good at home, but they're good everywhere. So we're going to have to do a great job of competing against the Chiefs and whatever else it is, weather, crowd noise. You know, there's nothing we can really do about any of that. What we can control is our performance and our execution, and that's what we're going to focus on.
Coach, last time we played the Chiefs, we talked about Tyreek Hill and saying that he's fast, and seeing it live in person are two different things, like just how fast he is.
He's fast.
So, seeing it once, does it help these guys, like Devin or somebody, to just sit there and say, yeah, I thought I had an angle, but now I know better?
Because yeah,
now
sure, I know how fast he is. Of course, I think it always helps to play against guys and just know their skills and how you match up against them and maybe what you can do and what you can't do, or what you need to, you know, as you say, take a different angle or play a little bit different leverage or whatever it is. So, they have that experience against us. We have that experience against them. We'll see how it goes. But sure, I think knowing your competition, knowing the skills of the guy you're up against or the guy on the other side of the ball is always helpful.
How different are they without Kareem Hunt? I know Damian Williams has been very good for them, but
yeah, again, this is a team that has a lot of weapons, and you can't just stop one guy or zero in on one guy. They have tight ends, receivers, running backs, and obviously the quarterback, and a good offensive line, and a good play caller, and a great game planner in Andy Reid. So everything's a problem. We're going to have to play good team defense. There's no way around it. I mean, there's no one guy that's going to stop this offense. We're going to need all 11 guys performing well and being sound and consistent in what we do.
When you looked at the game film from Saturday, did you think they were better defensively because Houston is now back healthy on that other side? Or was there something else you saw?
Yeah, well, I mean, sure, having their players, you know, having Sorensen back, having Houston back, then of course, those are good things. Look, they're going to have their guys out there. We're going to have our guys out there. We have good players. They have good players. We have good coaches. They have good coaches. We'll see how it goes. It's going to be a very competitive matchup, and you know, we know we're going to have to play our best game.
When you're trying to figure out a game plan for a team that you've already played, and it was a high-scoring game, it was a track meet with two teams, and knowing that maybe, and maybe I'm wrong about this, that Kansas City can do it maybe quicker in three or four plays. You seem to move the chains.
They can do it one play.
Yeah, okay. So, and you seem to move the chains a little bit better. Does it make more sense for you to try to play a game in which you can control the football a lot more? You can control that clock a lot more. Keep that ball away from them where they can score just like that.
Yeah, well, I think it's important to score points. So if that's long drives, it's long drives. If it's short drives, it's short drives. But you got to score points. I don't think you're going to beat them with, you know, 7-9 points. I mean, nobody's done that all year. So we're going to have to score, and we're going to have to keep them from scoring at the rate that they've scored at times. So in the end, the game's about points. I don't think it's about time of possession or about yards or about sacks or about, you know, that kind of thing. It's really about points, which comes down to big plays and red area production. And then it goes to turnovers, which turnovers are turnovers, and third down is an element of turnovers because it's potentially an exchange of the ball. So, you know, that's kind of the order for me. It's points first and then turnovers and then third down.
So Tom on the field postgame, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't know the word for word, but he said in his interview, he said, not bad for a team that stinks, that can't beat anybody. So it seemed like almost it was, you're playing it up like nobody thought you could beat this team. Well, San Diego was going to come in here and beat you, and the dynasty was going to be over. Did it sort of, you guys use that this week? Maybe some of the stuff, the outside noise, to your benefit?
I think we're going to go out there and do our best every week. We're going to go out there and compete this week, just like we did last week. We'll let the final score decide how it goes.
All right, you got one?
I was just going to make one more thing talking about, because we've talked about this with you during the course of the season, that this team has not performed the same way on the road that they have at home. Do you make that a point of emphasis this week?
Yeah, we try to play well every week. So that's what we're going to do this week. We're going to try to play well at home on the road. we try to play well every week in all three phases of the game, so we're going to try to do the same thing this week.
Yeah, Brady talked about, on the morning show, talked about the last time you guys were out there and you lost to Kansas City, that there was a lot of emotional conversations, you know, with the guys on the team as far as getting ready, how to handle it, just, you know, taking care of their own business. You know, having trouble on the road, is that the message this week also? How to prepare, how to, you know, how what to be ready for, what to get used to when you head out there again?
Yeah, again, I think the most important thing this week is to be ready to play the Chiefs. Whatever the weather is, whatever everything else is, it is. But we can control our preparation and our performance against their football team in regular situations and in special situations that are specific to that particular play. So that's what we're going to get ready for.
Actually, it was mild out here yesterday, didn't you think?
Yeah.
Temperature was pretty good.
It was cool, but yeah, it was mild. Yeah, not bad.
Well, you cheated a little bit. You didn't wear the hoodie. You had a big puffy little, you know, jacket out there, right?
Yeah. But no, it wasn't bad. I mean, look, it's the middle of January in Foxborough, so.
There were some complaints.
We're not going to need a lot of suntan lotion.
People wanted to see the gray cutoff, the cutoff hoodie, you know, 20 degrees. They wanted to see the cutoff hoodie.
So, just go sleeveless. You
know, yeah.
Why do guys do that? Why do players go sleeveless when it's like freezing cold? Are they just trying to be macho? I mean,
I wore sleeves, okay?
He's from California. Of course he's going to wear sleeves.
I don't get that. Why wouldn't you want to be warm? I mean, Brady said it last week. The one advantage you have in playing and practicing in cold is you know what to wear and be able to move, you know, your limbs. It's perfect.
Your limbs.
I should move your limbs. Maybe limbs.
I'll save you from that one, Coach.
Yeah. You got a question?
We're going to wrap things up, like we always do, with a question, with two questions, really. And that's our Mercedes-Benz Drive of the Week. So, Coach, what do you think was the Drive of the Week? You got a lot of options today.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the opening drive. That was good.
Take the kickoff, accept it, go all the way down there, run a lot of plays. This one is from an anonymous source. We want to have our we're going to have our own OMF Beyond Thunderdome Challenge with you, Coach. Two men enter, one man leave. Those two men are Mark Bavaro and Rob Gronkowski. Who comes out alive?
Oh, boy, those are two good football players, two tough guys. So, yeah, I'd pay to see that one.
Good answer.
Was it like a tie, push? What are we thinking?
Those are two good,
two of the toughest tough guys you've ever? Players.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. They're both warriors. They're both very... very tough, physical, strong-minded, competitive. I mean, it would be a fight to the death. They would. I mean, those guys are tough.
Is Bavaro a guy that just Hall of Fame?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you go back and watch Bavaro block Reggie White when they ran that over defense. He blocked him out there. There was no double teams. There was no. I'm not saying he, but he blocked him.
Yeah.
Better than anybody else did. So, yeah, I put Bavaro up there with, you know, put him up there with all the best of them.
So you didn't pick either one, right?
No, he can't. It's like choosing between his kids, I feel like.
I've said that before. Yeah. The as good as a coach, there wasn't much that I enjoyed more than watching Mark go against LT and Banks one-on-one, tight ends, outside linebackers in training camp. Those were three of the best football players that made each other better, that competed on every down, that knew who they were up against, and gave it their very best. And, I mean, whichever two of the three guys were in there, you were watching two good football players really compete in just a one-on-one, what you're kind of describing, in a one-on-one setting. And, you know, they all made each other better. You know, they all won their share, they all lost their share, but they all made each other better. And I mean, that was some real football.
Yeah,
you know?
No,
some real football.
I would love to see the.
Oh, you see that sometimes, and they all would tell you that they didn't go against anybody in a game
that was tougher than
what they're practicing against. So, I feel very fortunate to have been able to witness that for several years. You know, you play against a guy once a year, and you know. Then you don't see him again until whenever you play him again, might be next year or a couple of years later, whatever. Those guys, you saw it, you know, in training camp literally every day and other times during the season. So it was pretty special. I mean,
those were the good old days. Pads every day.
Well, I was going to say,
two days.
Anything currently, any matchups that you've seen, I don't know, I guess.
Well, I'm just
that
saying, I would
similar.
Put that one's to me in a class by itself. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the greatest defensive player that ever played. against, in my opinion, a Hall of Fame tight end that was a tremendous football player, a tremendous blocker. He didn't have the receiving stats because of the type of game that was played then and the way he played. But he had plenty. I mean, look, this guy could run, catch, and make big plays, and it was impossible to tackle. So, yeah, I'd put him up there with anybody. As a complete tight end. There may be other guys who have a little more passing skill, but in terms of complete tight end that could do it all, he was good.
All right, so that's our Drive of the Week. That was brought to you by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers.
Our conversation with the coach has been brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners, committed to an active game plan on and off the field. Congratulations, Coach. 12th AFC Championship game. Good luck in Kansas City, and we expect to see you here Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Sounds good.
Monday.
Short drive.
It's on the book. Right. Monday. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Come.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
You know, when people say, like, your first playoff game for this guy, do you look at it and say, I mean, he did come from Georgia, right? Some big games, national title games. Does that sort of help that mindset, maybe for a kid that maybe didn't play in a big program, or as far as like getting the jitters off of playing in the first playoff game?
Yeah, I don't think it's how many you've played in. I think it's how prepared you are and how well you play. So,
All right, talking about Sony Michel. Interesting. I don't hear... Do people still say that he sucks and he blows?
No, no.
And that it's phony Sony Michel? I heard phony Sony Michel Saturday with Mark Chance. Oh, my God.
I heard a new nickname, the Blazing Haitian.
Yeah.
Phony Michel.
Edelman gave him that nickname. I was like, oh, okay. I don't know about Blazing, but okay, he's fast.
I mean, think about it. He missed most of the summer,
Chris
right?
Chris Johnson.
He missed most of the summer. He had some injury issues, right? And he had a little injury issue during the course of the season. He's a first-round draft pick. I know you were skeptical early on in the season, Lou. I mean... Anybody look at this kid right now and think that this
well,
kid...
Well, no, I think...
he's not Todd Gurley, I'll give you that. But.
And I thought it was a nice catch, too. I don't think he might have had one catch, but it was nice. And the other thing, too, like I mentioned, like the goal line. I remember early in the year, he was struggling with the goal line.
Yes.
One of the reasons why Devlin was getting the ball at the one a lot, because to give it to Michelle, you know, so... But in this game, you know, ran the ball well. But I guess the argument would be what happened on Saturday. Because when you sit there and say... You know, do you need Kareem Hunt when Damian Williams can do what he did? You know, do you need Le'Veon Bell when C.J. Anderson comes off the streets and runs for 100 yards 3 weeks in a row?
Who looks like me, by the way.
Absolutely.
He's like 5'9", and he's a bowling ball.
Looks like Bettis.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that, so that's the counter-argument. Going into Sunday, it was like, you know, those two games, people would sit there and say, see, you don't need a running back. You don't need to spend $18 million on a running back, Le'Veon Bell. You don't need to draft a running back in the first round. When you can get a Damian Williams and you can get C.J. Anderson
doing
what they
did. But if you put those, I would say that Kansas City offense specifically to them, like they remind me of these college offenses like the Oregon's, the Blur offense when they were in vogue. Any back that they had was rushing for 15, 60. Sometimes they would have two backs for over 1,000 yards because there's so much going on. There's so much you have to worry about. They still are a power football team, but everybody's a second behind. They're a little bit deeper in their alignment because they're trying to figure out what the hell is going on, right? So they get there late, and by the time you figure out, they're so damn fast, they blaze right by you. So, I mean, I know the running game is still effective. That's why I wasn't really concerned with Kareem Hunt being gone. Now, when the yards are a little bit harder to get and you don't have these huge lanes, okay, can you get yards on your own? Can you make people miss on your own? Can you break tackles? That is the true indication of a great back. Like Anderson for the Rams, I'm like, you said it's like a meatball with arms.
Yeah.
Just rolling down, running into people. Nobody wanted to touch him. Great analogy. Looked like a shorter version of Jerome Bettis.
I couldn't get over how big his ass was.
Huge. Big buddy.
Yeah.
Big booty.
Yeah, big
giant
lineman.
Booty.
Yeah. Big ass. Just saying.
You all right?
Bootylicious. I'm fine. I'll be just waiting for the Bootylicious.
Oh, I thought you were going to get a Bootylicious
drop. So we end up with the four remaining teams are your top four offensive teams in the National Football League. That's not a coincidence, right? That's by design. That happened because that's where the league is. Notice that you don't have top defensive teams. Matter of fact, the highest defensive team remaining on the board right now is your New England Patriots. So does that mean anything? The lowest, by the way, is Kansas City at, I believe, 26. So does that mean anything? Or is it all offense right now? Because it used to be, didn't they say defense wins championships?
Yeah,
remember that
whole
thing, defense wins
championships?
Well, so, I think the difference, is that there's some teams, like that New Orleans game, for example, right? Like, they're down 14-0. If you're a defensive-minded team down 14-0, can you come back? Yeah, I'm not so sure you can. You know, so, but if you are the New Orleans Saints with a high-powered offense, can you come back? Sure, you absolutely can come back. So, you know, the defensive teams are out, and I tell you, anybody that's going to sit there and hope for numbers to be down, you know, like a guy like Brady is not going to put up good numbers against Kansas City. The defenses aren't good enough right now. So all these quarterbacks are going to put up big numbers, I would think. Now, I don't know if Goff, and they're going to be able to try to run that football, or the Patriots, even though they ran the football, Brady still had great numbers. But I wouldn't expect too many defenses to step up here right now. It's going to be a race to about 35 points.
Well, that's why I asked him the question. Do you want to play a 43-40 game the next time around with Kansas City? Because you have right now, and what did they play with the Saints and the Rams the first time around? That was like 45-35 or something.
And then you
like
had
that, right?
The Rams and the Chiefs with a 50 game.
Right. So, but do you want to do that right now, or do you play more to your strength, and that is run the football effectively? It opens up your play action. It opens up the short passing game. You move the chains. You keep the ball away from Mahomes. And, oh, yeah, you're the better defensive team.
Well, I mean, to what you saw this weekend, You can run the football and still put up 35 points in the first half. You know, you can run the football effectively and throw off of it. So it's not like you're sitting there saying, do you want to run the football because you want to get this game in the 20s?
Yeah, but I think
that's old school thinking. You're running the football to still try to put up 37, 38 points.
Yeah, see, I know what Chiefs. And he brought up the score. You want to score, and I get that. But
wait, so you want the offense?
You want to score?
You
want to score points?
Let me write that down.
No, we can
use
that
again. Key to winning is scoring more.
And they also try to play well with their home or the road. I don't know if you knew that.
I knew that as well.
His answer to that is hard for you to believe. I know this might be hard for you to believe, but
they haven't. But they haven't. So your intent is always to play well. I get that. But when you don't, and the game happens to be outside of Foxborough, Massachusetts, there's a reason. But getting back to the offense and the defense. They're a big play team, Kansas City. You're not, as much as you scored 41 in this game, you're still not the explosive three-play team that they are. They score on two plays. He said they score on one. He's right. You throw it to Hill, and Hill's gone. He's 10 yards beyond your safety. So I'm wondering if you don't want to play more like you played yesterday offensively. And you ended up with 41, but let's face it, it's different than what you're dealing with Kansas City.
My point is that playing like you did yesterday is not necessarily slowing it down. It's just who they are. That's just their offense.
Yeah, but look at the control of the clock. He said the control of the clock has got nothing to do with it. I mean, they controlled the first half. Mm-hmm. What was the first half? Like 2-1?
Over 20 minutes to under 10.
It was unbelievable.
And do you think them, they win the toss and they elect to receive the ball? You think that was just, oh, you know what? Well, today we feel like taking the ball.
Nope.
You know
I think
what?
It was.
You know, no, they identified a weakness. They knew what their strength was. It's going to be physical. We're going to bring it to them. We want the ball.
Yep.
Right? So,
Let them play from behind right out of the gate. Right out of the gate.
Yeah. But more importantly, I mean, obviously you want someone to play catch-up. It obviously didn't have any effect because they came down and, four or five plays and they scored?
Yep.
So that negated that whole idea. But the biggest issue, I thought, the most important philosophy was just showing them that they were going to be in for a fist fight. And we outweigh you, right? We're going to outman you. We're going to out-physical you. And we're not going to stop. And then as soon as you guys lighten up, okay, we're going to throw it over your head. I mean, so this whole dinking and dunking, no, they were throwing the ball down the field. Edelman was open down the field, like wide open.
See, eventually, because you were able to open it up.
That was the amazing thing. Again, I go back to them having those six or seven corners. So when you do that, you got to give something up, and we all know that's the running game, the power running game. The Patriots took advantage of it. But when you also do that, there has to be some advantages for you when you play with six, seven DBs. And I would think one of the advantages would have to be covering a guy like James White out of the backfield or just flooding the secondary with a bunch of corners and safeties and not allowing them to throw the football or just, you know, nobody being open. And they failed in every category. So they failed in their weakness, which was, you know, getting run over, which we knew was going to happen if they came out with seven DBs. but they weren't even able to cover James White out of the backfield with seven DBs.
You couldn't play a worse game than what the Chargers did. First of all, in the first touchdown the Patriots scored, they only had 10 defenders out on the field. Okay, then they get called for two delay of games. It would have been four had they not called two timeouts. And the reason they had difficulty is the noise was getting to them. Noise. This is nothing like Kansas City, and it was loud here yesterday. It was louder than it normally is. I'll give them that. But it's not like Kansas City. No. But that was enough to fluster them. And do we have the Tom Curran question of Philip Rivers after the game? Because, you know, Tom Curran is trying to, you know, tweak him a little bit. There's no question. He's playing some games with him. But the fact is that Rivers did lose his composure in this game.
So generally known as just a terrific competitor. Was there ever a point where you felt as if your competitiveness got to a level of frustration?
No, I don't think so. I think we're never going to quit. I don't care what the score is. We're going to play till that last second takes zero. Maybe there's a little more emotion coming out at the end because you just hate that it's over. It's hard when it ends.
So would it be unfair if I said, hey, he showed a lack of composure out there that might have cost his team?
I mean, you can decide whether that's unfair or not. I know that's not the case in any, not at all.
See, Curran wouldn't do that to most guys. Most guys would say F you, and they would say the whole word. Right?
Oh, thanks,
they would
do bro.
This guy's not going to do it. But he's wrong. He lost composure in the first quarter. He is screaming and yelling.
That's just him, though. Is that different, though?
No, he whines all the time. We talked about this last week, but I thought he took it to another level.
I agree. But I had a good chuckle there on that like final drive when there's like a minute and a half left. And he thought there was like a pass interference downfield. And he ran like 5 or 10 yards and gave it a little fist pump and like a leg kick. Like he was so mad at the ref for not calling like pass interference. I was actually laughing because it was so comical.
He's
like
a guy who does not swear.
Well, the other thing is that, yeah, so he doesn't swear.
He gave like a little scissor kick and a fist pump.
That's
right.
He doesn't swear, but he doesn't shut the hell up.
No.
He doesn't shut the hell up. It's like, so reverse the uniforms, make that Brady doing all this hollering and yelling and all these theatrics. What are people saying about Brady? I mean, to me, it's like he gets a pass because he's a good guy. Everybody likes him.
They want him to
win a Super Bowl because he's been through so much and he's been in the league so long and he's a good old boy. He wears the same boots every Sunday. Yahoo! Like, come on.
Well, no, that's Brady to a exactly from Brady junior gets high school, and they are currently expecting their ninth child.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, let's let him win. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are critical on Brady because they said he whines. I've never heard anybody say that this guy whines publicly.
Yeah, this guy wants.
I've never seen a guy. He chirps the entire game
from beginning to end. When he said he was doing it late, what is he talking about? He was doing it early on. Matter of fact, they were driving, and at one point, he's screaming at Anthony Lynn on the sideline. What are we doing? They had the wrong personnel group out there, right? That goal line, and he said, "What are we doing with the personnel that we're bringing out here? You can't tell me that with headsets and everything else and that they have in the helmets that." He's out there being that demonstrative.
Well, I just think the final
that
drive.
That helps that team.
Remember, the final drive is when they called that roughing the passer on Hightower.
Yeah.
And he's in the huddle yelling at the referees. Like, right. As he's calling the play, he's like yelling at a guy. Oh, you finally call it now. Oh, you still missed it. Like, he's still, his head is turned yelling at the ref. It's like a minute 20 to go in the game. And he's trying to take care of all family business.
Well, he
like,
did it know, about holding.
Yelling at all right. The refs.
He did it about holding.
Yeah,
he said they're holding. He said they're holding the whole time. And you're right, Christian. If he were dropping F-bombs to these guys, saying the exact same thing, but adding an F-bomb in that sentence, it would be a different story. So they let him chirp away nonstop at them, at the officials, at his own coaching staff, because he doesn't drop an F-bomb.
Yeah, because he's a good old boy.
He's
everybody
a good old boy.
Likes him. And
that's
Terry
it.
Bradshaw loves him, and Ian Eagle loves him.
Do you think the officials would take it if he were, FU and included?
Oh, you're
in
not allowed to curse.
Right.
You're not allowed to curse.
Right, be a different story.
You get a penalty.
All right, let's get to the phone calls. We'll do that coming up next. Talk to you at 617-779-7937.
Man love, bro love.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Epic beatdown. Almost 500 yards in total offense put on you. And that 28 points late in the game, whatever. I went on a Boston station yesterday and said, I think the Chargers have the better personnel. The Chargers had the better record. They had gone into places. And by the way, that Patriots team has been beaten by the Jags, the Dolphins, the Lions. Right? I mean, it was not some iconic team that they've had in their 18 years there. But they sure played like it yesterday. Anthony Lynn got his pants coached off.
That's your buddy Dancelio. Yeah,
that's your buddy Dancelio.
They have no clue. They really don't understand. They don't. How many? So this team has been around now 17 or 18 years, Brady. 12 of those years, he's gone to the AFC Championship. And I swear to God, people around the country still can't figure out the New England Patriots. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They just... And maybe it's a fantasy football thing because they don't have great fantasy players. Is that fair, Luke? Because I know you're a fantasy player. Is that fair? Is that part of it?
It's less about figuring it out that it's just... They figured out they're just not as good at it. I mean, they're just not as good at it.
What do you mean?
So the Patriots are... do you think Anthony Lynn's a good coach?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, pretty good coach, right?
Yeah.
So he's doing the best that he can with his personnel, right?
Yeah.
But there's one thing missing, and I don't care what you say. There's the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady collaboration that has been going on for years is something that we'll never see again in sports. Now, you may see it for a short period of time, great quarterback, great athlete with another great coach. But you'll never see
it
for this long. No way.
No.
You won't.
In football? No.
And it's such a constant. You sit there and you look at these teams, and the Patriots are, for at least if you're local and you've been covering them, it's easy to kind of figure out what their personality is and how they think and what's important to them and how they're going to call plays. Some of these other teams, they rotate their coaching staff, their players so many times, and their quarterback so often. Good luck figuring it out.
This is, I think I saw someone, I don't know, on TV this morning or whatever that said, you know, 15, 20 years from now, when you start talking about what has been going on here the last 18 years, there'll be people that just say, that can't be right. You know, 8 straight AFC title games, that can't be right.
No, it's like UCLA 13, Bruins 13, basketball type.
Brady's been this is his 13th, correct?
Yeah,
13 AFC title games in, what, 17 healthy seasons? Yeah. No, like, that can't be right.
75% of time he goes to the AFC champion. Think about it. Most guys, there are a lot of guys in this league who have never been to a playoff game. Never have been in a playoff game.
Do you guys think that, you know, so his post game, it was pretty subdued.
Yeah.
Right? So, because I'm sitting there watching it going, it looks like he doesn't care at all. Like, he's so unaffected by that win.
I disagree with you.
And, well, you're looking at his anger towards I'm looking at it differently.
No, I think he's using it. I think it's his motivational tool
right
now.
But you won. You proved him wrong.
Yep. But he's not done yet.
No, I think it's more the fact that he knows that this is like, he's still so far away.
If he loses this game in Kansas City, you know how it works, Christian. They will be dancing on his grave. Monday, they will be dancing on his grave.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
No, somebody will, but it'll be an asinine comment.
They were all asinine right now.
Give me something credible. Don't give me Cliff. Give me someone credible who doesn't have an axe to grind or isn't just going with an agenda.
Okay,
I ran out of people.
He's the only knucklehead. No, I think a lot of them want him to go away, and I think he's using it right now smartly. He's using it to his advantage.
Well,
he's sitting there going, "This will piss me off." Good, you know it. You guys are professional. We're professional athletes. You use every little vice you can to get pissed off.
And when you win a game like that, you know. He said what he said on the field, but even in the post game, they doubled down. Somebody asked him a question about it, and he just said, "I like winning," you know. And he just had that smirk in his face, and it was stuff he maybe wanted to say, but he's like, "You know what?"
Yeah. Said it twice.
I just like winning, and he just said it twice.
Yeah,
and it's like because he knows he won.
Yeah,
because the doubt that was out there, whether it was just him or his football team, and it wasn't just a W. They didn't win that game 27-24.
No, they blew
him
out.
You know what? That's just a good win. This was 35-7. Thanks for coming. Yeah, you guys all satisfied now?
Yep.
I mean, offensively, how did we look? Defensively, how did we look? The game was over at halftime. Yeah, so it was such satisfaction that he didn't need to say anything.
No, that was...
He said it in the post-game, emotional, whatever. And then at the podium, I just like winning.
Spanking. Just spanked them.
Nothing to be said.
Right. And nobody expected that. They can say whatever they want, but nobody expected
the way they did.
They were going to see what even
well,
Wiggy,
you got,
when you go back to what Wiggy said, even Wiggy did not think that. Nobody thought it.
You got more from him in his Instagram post. You got more because I looked at the
post-game. Today or the one yesterday?
The one today, and I know we have it. It's just the one from yesterday was the whole Warriors.
That was goofy.
Come on,
the song selection you're talking about.
The
today.
Song selection by 50 Cent, right? And I know we have. So Ryan, why don't you go ahead and play it?
Many men wish death upon me. Blood in my dog, and I can't see.
That's a song.
We want the Instagram post. We want the post. Stuff with Brady.
The Instagram post. Where he's working out in the morning. And then he's so the song by 50 Cent. Okay.
Many men wish death upon me.
Many men. Yeah.
Monday, January 14th. It's great to be working on a Monday. Great team win. We're on to Kansas City, baby. Let's go. Let's go. Many men.
That was my favorite one.
Wish death upon me.
Blood in my eye, Lord, and I can't see.
I would say it's not even subtle.
No, it isn't at all. No. I was actually surprised that it wasn't subtle at all. Because the one from yesterday, the whole, the water in me is cold, but I am the water.
The river. Right?
The river.
The
fire. Whatever the hell
I'm
it was.
The fire.
Yeah, there's a fire burning inside of me, and it's making me hot. Please. But I am the fire.
We're football fans. Stop it.
But this one was right up in your face. You're trying to knock me out. You're trying to take me out.
It's all about
ain't
the song
happen.
Selection.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
All right, to the phone calls we go. Anthony's in Mattapan. Hey, Anthony.
How you doing, Mr. Big O, Mr.
Good.
Fourier?
And how are you, Mr. Anthony?
What's up, Anthony?
Yes, sir. Remember, I was the one who called you on Thursday, and I said it was going to be a blowout.
Right. Yes, I remember you.
Yeah.
Yes, and one other thing. You know what? I am sick and tired of these national media knuckleheads who's hating on the Patriots. This was a statement game by Tom Brady. I'm telling you, I have no doubts. The Patriots will beat Kansas City. I'm going to start drinking on Wednesday. That's what we do in Mattapan.
Start today.
And guess what?
Get an early jump on the rest of Mattapan. Start today.
Well, my name is Anthony, so I got to start on Wednesday.
There you go. Okay, Wednesday. Why does he have to start on Wednesday, Lou? Is that a? I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Get it ready, though.
David's in Florida. Hi, Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, howdy. How we doing? Sorry
Good.
About that. I got a couple of things. First of all, offensively, overall, and then adjustments. Do you think they'd be well served to try and emphasize the running game and keep Kansas City's offense off the field?
Yes.
I think that's who they are, though.
That's who they are now.
That's not like, you know, change it up. It's run the football effectively. They don't stop the run very well. Use Gronk as the blocker, and then open up play action at him. Everyone else.
So offensively, we think they're going to do a lot of what they did in this last game. Defensively, it's going to be totally different. Totally different.
And then I also have a couple of ideas in terms of some wrinkles offensively that I think might be effective. They did it in the middle of the season with Patterson in the backfield.
I love wrinkles.
And what do you think about that? I think that might be a crafty
idea.
That's
just what it
Boring.
Is. That's just what,
yeah.
Thank you, Ryan. Holy buckets. I appreciate the suggestion. We actually have a suggestion box here at Dijon Stadium, and we usually put our own ideas in there.
Christian, I will say this. We did talk last week about possibly using some trick plays. They still
didn't.
Have them in the back pocket.
They didn't need them.
They're coming out this week.
You know,
have them in the back pocket.
You know, they come out when things aren't going well.
Yep.
So if they're coming out, things
Correct.
Aren't going well. But
Correct.
Patterson in the backfield, maybe once. But remember, there was a reason why he was in the backfield in the first place.
Because everybody was hurt.
Everybody
Don't
was
you
hurt.
Think, though, like, okay, so here's the guy. We're talking to Bill. We did the whole, you know, Rob Gronkowski, Mark Bavaro comparison. Two men enter, one man leave. He wouldn't answer it, right?
No.
But he really talked about Bavaro and how what asked, of a bad
Should have had Lou
was.
Ask that question. He would have answered.
He get some, no, he wouldn't have answered it. But, you know, the fact that they're playing this type of football, I got to think that he enjoys this more. Like, old school coaches appreciate this style, this brand of football more than they do the Sean McVays of the world, because Sean McVay came up in this high-flying offense since he's so young. But Bill came up in a grinded-out fullback in the backfield, tight end blocking at the point of attack, just grinding it out as much as possible. Now, I mean, a win's a win. I get it. But I get that this one is more satisfying.
Maybe. The one thing you can say about Bill, if you've looked at him for his entire career, he'll change up whatever he has to do. People say, a lot of coaches, like Andy Reid. Andy Reid's a prime example. So you get Andy Reid this week. You pretty much know what Andy Reid's mind and how it works when it comes to offense, right? We're going to a lot of motion. We're going to confuse you. We're going to get you to think we're doing one thing and then, you know, misdirection over here. That's Andy Reid. That's his identity. Bill Belichick, over the years, has changed up. They've morphed into whatever they needed to be.
That's a smart
based on the personnel.
Well, I would hope so. Only a dumb coach tries to run a smash mouth football without the right personnel. It doesn't make any sense. I definitely agree with you. I'm just saying that I would think that for him, the satisfaction of physically beating up the other person has got to make you feel good.
He likes violence.
He's a violent man by nature.
He likes it. Jay's in Kansas City. Hello, Jay.
Oh, there's the echo. Hey, what's up, man? It's BBJ. How you guys doing, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, I just want to call and tell you guys congratulations, man. I love to see all you guys come to Kansas City, man. Hey, mad respect to the Boston sports out there, man. But we're going to try to take it to you guys, man. As a matter of fact, I'm online right now looking to get some goat meat so I can start smoking. And to your caller, Anthony, that's going to start drinking Wednesday, dude, let me tell you something. You don't know anything about drinking. We started drinking last week, and we haven't slowed down.
Hey, Jay.
Now that's nice.
Hey, Jay, I like goat meat, man. I do.
What's that?
I like goat meat, man. I do.
Hey,
it depends how you prepare it. If you prepare good goat, it's good. Damn good.
Hey, to that other caller calling into a radio station about suggesting offensive plays, dude, go get some beer and just drink.
So I can only imagine what the radio sounds like in Kansas City. I mean, because we know about
Kansas City. Oh, they love Kansas City.
You'll be calling in this week, won't you?
Oh, yeah. Hey, give me a couple stations that you like to listen to out there.
Nice people out there.
Asking for a friend. Any stations that you think...
Hey, you don't have a Pat Mahomes tattoo, do you? Have his face anywhere?
Oh, no, but you know what? There are some guys here that do, and it is not a pretty sight. One guy lost a bet and had to get a Patrick Mahomes trap stamp.
Yeah, I had the... Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we saw that. Yeah, we did see that.
So are you Boston fans? Holler at me. My Twitter feed is...
Oh, okay. Oh, please. Good. Whatever. No one's hollering at you. Okay, go drink some beer.
Any quarterback we've ever had, Pat, we love you, man.
Yeah, let's holler at him.
What did all those people do that had the Alex Smith tattoo? What did they do?
Did they get rid of it? They somehow morphed it into Patrick Mahomes.
All right, 617-779-7937. Right back to the phone calls, I promise, next.